Or was
I know that God is doing some amazing things in people's hearts. I've seen and I've heard some testimonies of some powerful healings and deliverance and revelation and truth and dedication. I saw people turning away from things that aren't sin, but they're just not glorifying the Lord. There's a lot going on in here, and so we're going to open up the mic for some testimonies of what God's doing. You know, it's really powerful to testify. It's very important to testify for a few reasons. One, when you proclaim it, something happens to your mind, it's established, and you'll never forget that night on September 12th or 11th or 10th or whatever the day it is, that God moved on your life and transformed you. And oftentimes, when I've had some major life-changing times in the Lord, I always find a rock. And I write it out. And I date it. And I look at that rock. I don't idolize it. I look at it and I go, I remember, Lord, let me never forget your goodness. And sometimes when the enemy tries to come and steal, or did that really happen? I point to the rock, the King of Kings, and say, yeah, it did. It did. Testimony's powerful. Who would like to testify? The back row? Come on up.
I don't know if I can talk, but I can. So, you guys are amazing, righteous warriors of God. And it is an honor and a privilege to worship with you. And that's what I felt. It was immediate, just being with you guys. And I know all that laughter. That's what heaven sounds like. And this right here is close as it gets.
Amen.
So thank you. I love you guys.
So what happened to you?
I Okay. My name is Christine, and I'm 60, and I was born with spina bifida occulta, and that's a deformation in the spine, and the occulta means covered with skin, so because if it's not, it's very scary, but it caused pain, and I had all my life born with it. Had a couple of very bad car accidents, so then I got injured like here, and then it was like, you know. And I got here in a back brace, and I couldn't stand for more than 5 minutes at a time. I just moved. I just drove across the country. I have been in so much pain, and I got healed. So I'm still figuring that out. Jill's been by my side, and I'll sit in a chair upstairs and go, the seat feels funny. It's my sit bones, everything has changed, and I know that I felt, did it just now, I felt stuff happening. I feel ligaments, like, growing, and I can't process it yet. But I do want to say this, is that Kat and I have prayed for 30 years for my back, and here's the thing, is that all those prayers, every single one, they're like, bing, in this big old safety deposit box up there. And when it was time, when I was ready for this next relationship with God, because what's happened to me, all those prayers just rain down. So they're not unanswered. You're investing. And the thing is that, yes, my spine is healed, but really what happened, and really this is what testimony is about, is that it's changed my walk with God. It's changed my relationship with God. And last night was the first time ever in my life that I fell asleep in God's arms. And I kind of tested it, like, what if I lay on my side, like, still there? And I'm like, you healed me, and you're holding me. And he said, now the slow dance begins. And so I know that that's really what's happened is my walk has changed. My relationship has changed. And that's what it's all about. I think that's what happens to us when we get these, whoa, you know.
I love creative miracles. Who else has to testify tonight?
My foot was healed. I haven't been able to walk really good. I'm a worshiper and I haven't been able to worship. And that happened this afternoon. And then over the last few sessions, this weight, this struggle, it's gone.
Thank you, Father.
That joy is back. Boy, it's worth it all. It's worth it all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My name is Kathy. I come from Wisconsin with Carol Bogle. I don't know where she is. But anyways, she asked me at the last minute of registration if I would be able to go, and I had to clear it with my boss and my husband, and that went fine. But then the day after I registered, I got sick. And in 2 weeks, I only worked a half a day of work, and I was on antibiotics and everything. I was starting to get better before I came, and then on the way here, I started having all the symptoms coming back, and we've got this amazing roommate. Like, we just, like, prayed it through and being in the presence and everything. I've been receiving healing for that, along with many other things. I've been wanting to step out in ways with my art, and that happened here. I've not been free to dance and stuff in worship. That happened here. I've never flown a flag before. That happened here. Right before this service, between sessions or something, I went down to the stream because I really wanted to see it. I kept hearing it. I called my husband, and he was meeting with my nephew. I didn't really think much of it at that time. He's been trying to meet with him. My nephew's very troubled. Right before this service, my nephew must have been away from my husband, and he texted me and asked if he could ask me a question. And so I said, of course, yes. And he said, how do you deal with depression? I've dealt with depression. My family line has dealt with depression. I've lost my father and my sister to suicide. I've been suicidal. We've prayed to break those things off my family's line. This nephew is on my husband's side. So I was like really seeking the Lord because I feel like I've dropped. I used to be very, I think I was very productive in the spirit, and I feel like I've dropped the ball, especially after my sister passed in 2017. I just went through a really tough time. And I'm coming out of it, but I know that I'm going back different and ready to, like, step back up into my place. So, like, I was really seeking God on how to answer him, and I will be calling him when the session is over. He's actually had a couple friends in recent months commit suicide. So it's just, like, a really... But I was back in the corner just bawling and just praying for him and casting the devil off him and calling angels to surround him. And then that song came on, you know, about that we played twice at the end, and it was just like, oh, thank you, Lord. Like, I just know that he is being called into the kingdom right now, and we're going to have deliverance from all this junk.
What's his name?
Brandon.
Brandon, we call you into the kingdom of God right now. Come home.
So I have a short testimony, and I'm hoping Holly or Lori can help me understand what happened, but there was a word being delivered to Janet in the back about she's a revivalist, and I don't even remember much words that were shared after that, but I got hit in the belly with a fire. It was burning on fire, and a travail, came upon me, and I cried so hard. I didn't know if I was going to make it tonight. I was so exhausted by the time it was over. But it was definitely an encounter, and I'm real thankful to the Lord for that. But if you can help me understand, why that would happen, if she's getting a prophetic word that it would hit me like that, that would be helpful.
Amen. Well, there's one of two things. One is, Janet is a revivalist that goes into the jails, okay? And she has this gift from God, where she can walk into a group of people that have animosity, they don't want anything to do with God, and by the time she walks out, they're speaking in tongues, they are saved, they're on the floor, they're healed. It's a remarkable calling. So one of two things. One is that you have a similar calling, and we know you do have, I've always felt you have an outreach ministry. The other is that you were possibly hit with travail for people in the jail or people in that darkness. Could be either one. So we just have to ask the Lord. When he shows me, I'll tell you. When he shows you.
My name is Bernadine Reese, and I'm from Denver. And 2 years ago, I took a lady to Stephanie's church to hear Holly on a Friday night. And the lady couldn't come again Saturday, and I really felt that I wanted to come for that Saturday service. And Miss Holly gave a word of knowledge over me that was very specific, very heavy duty, 2 pages long. And I recorded it because they didn't have any recording at that particular time. And about midway, the recording disappeared. It was erased, but I had typed it out, put it on Facebook. And the first word out of there was, I see the word upheaval. And it went through the whole mess, saying that I would be faced with legal documents. And when legal documents, me and you were bigger than this. And she was talking about God and myself. And that God was telling me that he was proud of me. And in the middle of all this turmoil, she said I would be going through transformation, and that she saw me as an Oscar, and I was turning to gold. And when you hear that, it's like I just rolled my eyes and I think, how much more do we have to go through? And that I would have to leave everything behind, like the pilgrims. And when I get through all of that, then I would actually forget everything in a way, because God will have so blessed me. And about a year ago, I guess she had been sending emails to me and it went into my spam, so I never got them. But somehow I got word or wind that she was coming back into Denver, and I was trying to find out where, when. And this retreat came up sometime in April or May. And at that particular time, I was working
and making some things work. And I really had a desire to go to here. And I've always been not one to go chase anybody or be asking people for prophetic word, because I sit under a very prophetic pastor. But there was something inside that I sent an email saying I really am interested in going, but things didn't work out and I didn't have the finance to come. And then I found out she was coming to that same church, and she was supposed to be there in the evening, and then all of a sudden it was in the morning, and you know, I said, I'm going to be there. I ended up being there, and I met him, and somehow the Lord just put it on Lori's heart that I said, is there any way that I can volunteer? I volunteer my life away in ministry, and I just want to be... I heard her. I heard the word. It was strong for me. I just wanted to hear more. And she says, well, get a hold of Susie Q, and let him know that you would be willing to work. And I was intending on coming up here, staying in my car, just to hear the night services. And when I got here, things worked out to where I could be in a room. And that freaked me out again, because that's how God has been working on opening doors for me, just allowing me to know that he loved me through all of this stuff. And I know there was heavy training in me, but things were not working of what in my head I knew to do. And so I was stuck. And I had read back a few years, and I kind of got off track a little bit, because I was reading God's Generals, and some of the stories that I read, that were people that were wanting to get really close to the Lord and then started going off on right and left field, and that frightened me, and I didn't want to go any further. I didn't want to lose my mind trying to pursue God, so I believed a lie. And that lie pulled me back and separated me from the one that loves me and you. And when I came here, I asked Lori in the morning, I said, Lori, is there any possibility that you could fight off transformation? She goes, no, just keep asking questions. And that kind of assured me that I couldn't get off on, you know, thinking of transformation. I just figured that God would just disintegrate me because of everything, the anger I carried, the bitterness, the rage of all the things being done, the offenses that have happened. And I came in here and I asked the Lord, I said, God, you know me and you know what I need to go through more. I'm just asking you for the grace to go through it and get me through this. And so the crushing or whatever I imagined of what that transformation or whatever it was nothing of what the thoughts were. And I tried to receive everything that was thrown to me, and I said, I don't know what's going to stay, but I'm receiving it all. And I just want to thank you and you for paying the price. Because I know in my understanding of my training of being trained as a pastor that I've served, it's not easy to do what you're doing on the front line. You have to prepare and push through the time that you're going to be up here, because in between our breaks, when we can walk out the door and go to our lakes and trees and streams, people are pulling on you. And I know that. And it isn't easy to do, but it's something that I'm hoping that I can get through whatever it is so that I can turn around and unlock people out of prisons and point them to the Lord. Just like you did. So thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Sometimes people, you're hearing part of the story. she got to tell us part of her story the other day, and it was a pretty amazing story, what God is doing in her to prepare her. And I love when people latch on to God. They latch on to Him, and they hang on to Him. And they won't quit, and they won't let go. And you know, it's really interesting to me. So many times people would come up to me at the altar and feel like that they had failed, or that maybe they weren't doing well. And God would always say, yeah, but look at you, you're still here. Look at you, you had 1,000 opportunities to quit. 1,000 times you could have got tired and said, this is too hard, I'm quitting. But here you still are, seeking the face of God. And the good news is, when you do that, you always win. Always. You know, you will win. And I can't wait, Bernadine, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in you. I can't wait. She has a much bigger story than she shared. It's a big, big story. And I know God's going to do great stuff in you. And so, Father, right now, you know, this afternoon when we stopped, I knew we weren't stopping. I saw, you know, that pause button, what looks like quotation marks? I felt like God went, boop, that He wasn't quitting, but He was pushing the pause button. And so we're just unpushing it to see what He wants to do now. Okay? And I'll be honest with you, for a long time, you know, sometimes the hardest part for me of being, there's a lot of pieces to being a minister, a lot of different things you have to do. Somehow I have nothing to do with standing up here. But one of the things that for me is a little hard is carrying a service ahead of time. And when we came out here, I mean, just we minister pretty regularly, pretty much every week. But when we were coming out here, we knew that we would have 11 days in a row, or 11, I think, services in a row. And, of course, I'm sitting with the Lord going, what's this one, what's this one? And I'm trying to gain an idea. But I knew that this afternoon, I knew that whatever was going to happen this afternoon was a big deal to God. But the problem with that is I start to, like, I can't describe it. It's like I carry it. And it's not, I don't carry stuff in my emotions. I've learned how to not carry stuff emotionally. But you do carry things in the Spirit. And sometimes when that gets delivered, it's almost like you just want to lay down and go, oh. You feel like you, I don't know, kind of like maybe you just had a small child. But and so I feel like in some ways we did what we came to do. But what I saw is that some people are in process. And you may be sitting here feeling unusually tired. But it's not physical. What happens is sometimes Jesus puts you on the operating table and He starts a work. And sometimes you don't really realize what is happening. You know, I remember one time Edgar and I went to, we were in the Carolinas. And I remember that I went into almost, it was almost like a stupor. I was so deep in God, and I could just barely, I don't think Edgar knew, I just, you know, I was just being really quiet. But it was actually like, you know, just this deep state in God. And I felt God pulling out these sacks of stuff, just old stuff, you know. You know, we carry a lot more than we're carrying. Some of it, God doesn't want us to carry. And so some of you, if you're like, I don't understand what's going on, you're just in process, don't worry. Sometimes you'll go on the operating table and you might be there for several days. It's okay. You know, sometimes God will have you sleep a lot or rest a lot or listen to soaking music. That's okay. Because what's happening is you're being transformed. You know, back in the 90s, Dave Duell, who's now with the Lord, he's from around here, somebody might know him, he came to Carol Stream. And I was going through a very, very, very difficult time in my life. And at the end, you know, Dave's an amazing man. He would have this thing where he would, like, pew! I can't even, you know. God gave him this thing where he would, like, shoot people, and he would go, pew, and they would just, like, get nailed. I mean, very powerful man. And I remember at the end, he said, if you need prayer, come up. And I walked up, and I will be honest, I remember thinking, I hope he doesn't ask me what I need, because I just feel like I need everything. I was just really not in a good place. I'd been through a lot of terrible things. And as I walked up, Dave looked at me, and he's got these twinkly blue eyes. And he said, you don't have to say a thing, I see it all. He said, you haven't laughed in a long time. He said, but you haven't had much reason to. He said, but I'm telling you, the day will come when you'll lay in bed and you'll laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I knew it was God because I knew he saw. And 2 years went by. Didn't happen right away. And when the outpouring happened in Toronto and I heard about it, I made up my mind, I am going. You know, I don't understand it, I'm going. And I went by myself, and some of you, how many people have been to Toronto? Yeah. And I remember there's these, like, this set of double doors, and I remember walking in, I remember opening the double doors, and it was like, oh my God. It was like God himself was in this building. And I didn't know it. I began to weep and cry and feel really uncomfortable. Everybody else is having this great time. And I'm just as miserable as I can be. And I didn't understand it. And I had a terrible night, a lot of attack. I totally wasn't ready for this. The next day, being a tourist, you're so close to Niagara Falls, I absolutely have to go see Niagara Falls. So I get the car, and I'm going to Niagara Falls. And I'm on the road, and I say, God, what is wrong with me? What's going on? He said, you're being delivered from a spirit of rejection. Well, I didn't know I had one. I didn't know I had one. But see, what happens in the presence, Satan can't stand the presence. And so sometimes we've seen people get delivered just by coming in when we're doing the worship. Because the presence is here, and you'll start to go like, you know, and sometimes they're just gone, right? We've had people come who we know have a problem, I'll say it nicely, or a stronghold. They come into the present, and it just can't come with them, right? It just can't. And so there may be a little bit of like, what is going on with me? So I went to this, like, when I got back to the hotel, there was this little girl reading her Bible. She looked like she was all of 18. And I said, are you with Revival? She said, yeah, I'm one of the altar workers. I said, could you pray for me? I said, I just got here. And I said, I'm having this horrendous time. And everybody else is, she said, oh, I cried for 3 months. I said, I don't have 3 months. Said, I've only got like, I have like 4 days or 5 days or something. And so she prayed with me, and I went to the meeting. And, you know, I didn't remember to this day, no matter how many times I went to that place, I don't know who the band was. I don't know what they played. I don't know who preached. I don't know what they said because the presence was so strong. It's a vast warehouse. And back in the early days, back in the 90s, they would have these, the whole back half was a giant warehouse. The whole back half was these, this big cement, well, this big, I guess it was like a tile floor, like a computer room floor. Okay. And they would put these long lines of tape and at the end, people would just, you know, just fall out and have experiences and stuff. Well, what I would do is, early in the service, I would just go hide, you know, basically, and lay behind a pillar and hide and just encounter God. And I didn't care what they all did. You know, I just didn't care. And so when I came home from there, I really didn't understand. I'm telling you this because some of you will have some, you know, maybe like, what is this? And I want to tell you so that you're not surprised by what God does. But what happened was God, you know, sometimes he takes some things out, you know, because you've been asking him to. Sometimes he puts something else in. Sometimes he's changed your mind. Sometimes you have maybe an encounter where you realize, oh, you know, your perspective changes. And a lot of that happened. But when I came home, I would lay in bed and I would laugh and laugh and laugh. I would laugh for hours. I mean 3-4 hours. I would laugh as hard as you can laugh. And as I did, my life was being just healed. I laughed for months, and I remember Dave Duell, 2 years from that word. It took 2 years for that word to come to pass. But I guess I said that to say, you know, I see some people, and you're in here like, I don't really understand why I'm feeling so odd. Don't worry. Don't worry. God's got you. And God's going home with you. He's not just staying here. God's going home with you. God will be in your car with you or on the plane with you. And some of you are what I'm seeing is there will be some of you that you've never really had relationship with God in the way where it was two-way. You know, you've prayed, you've talked, but you haven't really had this kind of two-way conversation going on. But I saw it will be very easy. Some of you will step into a two-way relationship. It'll just be so easy. You'll just be in the kitchen or walking through your house, and you'll just begin to have a two-way, open relationship with the Father. And, you know, God revealed to me that His desire for us in the very beginning was open and face-to-face. He walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. They hung out. They were best friends. That's what they did. And what you have to understand is that how it was before the fall is God's will. That's what God wants. So let's talk about how it was before the fall. We operated out of 100% of our mental capacity. We were brilliant. Our mind was, we were made in the image of God. We had the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. It's amazing who we really were. I mean, we in Adam before the fall. Adam's first thought was, what's in it for God? Not his second thought. And when Jesus went to the cross, he went to make a way back into Eden. He went to reopen. Remember, Eden was closed. Remember, the Lord didn't want man to live forever in that condition after he fell. Remember, so he ousted him, and he set cherubim with flaming swords to guard the way. But then when Jesus came, he said, I am the way. I am the door. And he said, there's a scripture that's so interesting. He said that he was the door. He said his sheep would go in and out and find pasture. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean in and out? If it was, you know, if you just read it in, you would think, well, when we get to heaven. In and out implies in and out through the door. Come on. And so I actually believe he could have been implying the Holy of Holies, the open door. I'm the door, I'm the way. How do we come into the Holy of Holies? Come in by a new and living way. It says come boldly, doesn't it? How? A new and living way, by the blood of Jesus. I am the way, I am the door. I am the way, I am the door back into Eden. Everything that was available in Eden is now available to us through the cross. Amen. And the reason I'm big on this is, I hope I didn't share this here. I've been preaching too much, I can't remember what I shared. So stop me if I told you this. But in the 90s, about that time when God was really kind of raising me from the dead, to be honest with you, I went to a great revival meeting in Chicago. And I had an encounter where it felt as though I was going up on a chairlift. Did I tell you this story? All right. Good. It felt as though I was... Did you ever take a chairlift up the mountain? And you just keep going up. Well, I kept going up and up and up. And I got so far gone that I knew I couldn't drive back home, and I was in Tinley Park. And so I went out to my car, and I thought, well, you know, because they're closing the church, and I'm like an hour's drive, so in Chicago roads. So I thought, well, I'm just going to sleep in the back of the car, and then in the morning I'll try to get home. And I actually had a job, and I thought, if I'm able, I will go to my job. Well, at 2 in the morning, here's the policeman with the flashlight. Excuse me, ma'am. What are you doing in the car? I said, I'm sorry. I said, I was just too tired to drive home, so I thought it would be safer. He said, lock your doors. And so, but really, I was, you know, I know how to fake it, okay? When you're just ripped in God, and you're just like, I cannot walk, I cannot drive. I know how to go, yes, sir. I'm really fine, but I was very tired. Amen. Hallelujah. Quite so. You know, indeed. You know, I know how to, you know, like to be coherent. You know. And we need to be able to do that, don't we? Because it doesn't help the world to see us just wigging out, right? You know, it doesn't help the world want to come to church. They're crazy. So we need to walk circumspectly. Anyway, so what happened was I had a 20-hour experience with God where he took me and allowed me to see a lot of things about Eden. And he made me to realize that if we don't understand Eden, we won't understand true discipleship. or who we really are, or what God's intention was. If we don't know what he meant when he created us, we will not understand who we are now that he's redeemed us or recreated us. And so God allowed me to see all these things about who he intended us to be. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was opening, he was redeeming us into garden state. So your insides, your born-again spirit, is pure. Okay? So when he says you have the mind of Christ, what he means is as if Adam had never fallen. So even though your carnal mind, you may think, well, my carnal mind, you know, I don't understand everything. Well, no, of course not. But in the spirit, you have access to all knowledge. I said all. What did he say? He said, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Yeah, that means when you're faced with a problem that's absolutely impossible. I worked as an analyst at a company and God gave me a certain type of mind. I think that way. But I remember being on a project and I remember having one of the most complex problems and we were just stuck. I'll be honest. I had to thunk and I couldn't make it go. And I got to the point where I'm like, I really have to have help on this one. And did you ever work so hard on a problem that it just, you know, to be honest, I was almost teary, like, I can't do this. And I went to the car and I sat with the Lord and I said, you got to help me. And I just went into that state of rest I was talking about the other day. The state of rest is where everything happens, you know? The state of rest is where everything happens. When I want to go to heaven, I just go into a state of rest. When I want to hear God, I go into a state of rest. You don't strive to hear God, you rest to hear God. I'm a very peaceful person because the place that I live in on the inside is the place. And I'm telling you this not to talk about me, but because God is inviting us to labor to enter that rest. Because in that rest, you might as well be in Eden. You might as well be in the Garden of Eden. Because, again, I said this afternoon, what does it say? All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All things are yours. Isn't that amazing? And so Jesus died to make a way for us to go back into all things. So I have a friend, I just love her, I went to church with her, and she's older than me, and she had been told all her life she was slow, and in the natural, there might have been some small amount of truth to that. She didn't drive. She didn't hold a job. She still lived with her parents. Well, you know, when you're aging, you can't live with your parents forever. And she couldn't take care of herself. And she'd always been told her whole life, you're slow, you're slow, you're slow. She came up to me at church. She said, Holly, I am so tired of people telling me I'm slow. I said, but you're not. She said, I'm not. I said, well, no, not anymore. You may have been born slow, but you're not slow now. So let me show you what the Word says about you. I said, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. I said, I don't care what you were like before. You're brilliant now. And this woman believed me. And she believed the Word. And within a few months, she had her license. She had a job. She got a boyfriend. We don't have to accept the package we were given at birth. And we don't have to accept the package that people have tried to give us. People try to identify you, right? We try to identify each other and put each other in these little boxes. You know? You remember high school? PU. She's a cheerleader. He's a jock. He's a nerd. He's, you know, smart. He's dumb. Remember all that stuff? But, you know, adults do it too. They're quieter about it. But we put each other in these boxes and we try to stick these labels on each other, and even worse, on ourselves. And God is in the label peeling business because none of that is who you are. And if we can come to terms with who we have been made to be in Eden, what I'm seeing in the Spirit, you know, I'm preaching, but I'm seeing what is happening is there's some exchanging going on in the Spirit. Because when you realize who you really are, And when, yeah, I'm going to say this to you. You are not who people said you are. Nobody knows the real you except the Lord Jesus. Nobody, unless they're looking at you in the Spirit, nobody can really fully appreciate the real you. Now, it's true that we see each other's faults and we see our own faults. That part is true. We do have faults. We have an outside that isn't always perfect. That's okay. I admit it. My outsides are certainly not perfect. I get it. However, I've come to understand that it's not so much about what's going on the outside. It's about what's going on the inside. It's about this two-way thing that God has called all of us to, every one of us, from the least to the greatest. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your intellect. It doesn't matter your physical ability. It doesn't matter what kind of grades you made or whether you have a degree or not. What matters is the development of who you are on the inside and your relationship to Him. And we've been given the most amazing thing that we have an open heaven. God has opened heaven to us that we can communicate not just one way, but two way with our own Creator. That's amazing. That we can actually meet with the one who made us and say, can you help me understand why I am here? Can you help me see who I really am? And it's not a pride thing. In fact, when you see who you really are, it can be attached to a great deal of humility because only God could pull that off. You know, only God. C.S. Lewis said, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but he said that every person you ever meet will one day be a creature, either that is so terrifying you'd be tempted to run in terror from them, or a creature so glorious you would be tempted to bow down and worship them. And the truth is, every creature you know is already one of those things. We just can't see it. Inside of you dwells a born-again spirit. If I could see it, right, I would be seeing the power of God. I'd be seeing the compassion of the Lord. I'd be seeing the love of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something. God told me a lot about Adam in those 20 hours. I was caught up. By the way, I called into work and said, can't come in today. Why not? I just can't. I'm in Eden. I didn't think they would understand that. But he showed me a lot of stuff about the intellect. And he showed me, listen, the whole world went out of course. Right? The whole world lies in darkness. The Bible says the earth is out of course, right? It was cataclysmic what happened. Well, we might as well go there. We'll just back up and then we'll start over. In Genesis, right, in Genesis 1, in verse 26, he talked about Adam having the rulership of this world. He gave him the world. He created the world and gave it to him. He did. And he told him not just to rule over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, but he said over all the earth. And so we as redeemed people are supposed to be ruling in the earth. And so some of the stuff that people said, why did God let that happen? Can I suggest it wasn't God that let it happen? Can I suggest maybe it was us? Maybe it was me that let it happen? Oh no, right? So two verses later, he says, fill the earth and subdue it. But that's a really great word to study. That word subdue actually means subjugate. Force it to come under your dominion. Make it. Make the earth obey you. The earth, not even talking about the devil yet. The earth. Earth, line up. Yeah. I'll show you a new way to fix your toilet. I was young, just learning this stuff in my 20s, and I was living in this cabin in the country and had a hole in the roof, you know. Every time it would rain, I'd have to put out a saucepan. But I loved it because it had 15 acres and it had this rusty, rusty, rusty water. You ever been in one of those? And the toilet wouldn't work. And I got mad and I said, in the name of Jesus, I come in. And I went, boop, and it started working. We are supposed to be ruling and reigning. And we're not supposed to wait till heaven to do it. It's our job. It's our job. Don't whine for God to come and do it. Start demanding. Now, here's something we don't demand. We don't ever demand people. Okay? We have authority over the earth. But every human, even the creepy ones, they've been given, God has given them, honestly, He's given them free will, and He Himself respects even their poor choices. He allows them to make bad decisions, and for us to try to control them is wrong. Okay? So we never use our authority to make other people, you know, that's wrong. Okay? If you see somebody using control in the church, get away from them. Just telling you lovingly, control is not the way we're supposed to lead God's people. Okay? Jesus didn't do it, and God doesn't do it. So, oh man, I really want to go there. There are churches that are led by control. And it's not safe. Because that is not the way that we're to lead God's people, okay? Jesus said, this is just an aside, can I do a tangent? He said, the leaders of the Gentiles lord it over them. That's talking about control. He said, but you are not to be so. You're not to be so, okay? So he gives Adam the earth. The earth was made for Adam, was made for us. He makes Adam the prince of this world. See, you could never persuade me to believe that Satan was intended to be the prince of the world. That would be like if you had your favorite son, the one you love, and you put him in the schoolyard, and then you go get a big, mean bully and say, go beat up on him. He's the king of the schoolyard. No parent would do that, ever. And certainly our father would not. So what happened is, when Adam and Eve were tempted and they blew it, they yielded themselves to sin. And who you yield your members to, as servants to obey, is servants you are. So we yielded to the enemy, and thereby Satan became prince of this world. Okay? We lost our authority, so now God has to send somebody, and he has to come as a man. Because only a man has authority in the earth. Only a human. Psalm 115 and 16 says, the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Yeah. You own the earth. You rule. You rule the world. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So Jesus comes as a man. Now Adam has blown it, and all of us were, you know, we were born in sin. The earth is out of course. Things shifted. It's okay. Hallelujah. Amok. They've run amok. Muck. They're a muck. Okay, now the veterinarian's at it. Yes, indeedy. Trying to get to a point here. It's a really good one. I'm thinking, if half of you hear it, it would be, you know, that it'll be worth making. But, you know, just testing the waters to see, you know, is it worth making this point, or are you just all gone? Have I completely lost control of me? Now, we love it when the Holy Ghost takes over. Laughter will heal you. It'll heal you. I'm telling you, it'll heal you. But see, if you get too amok, as I'm going to make you come up and talk. Oh, somebody just got healed of a stomach thing. I saw some at the top of your stomach. It's at the top, and it went pew. Indigestion, go. Amen. Hallelujah. Blockage, go. In Jesus' name. So, I'm going to tell you something cool, though. This is something God showed me about Adam, and it's kind of important. So, one thing about Adam is he was made in the image of the Father. Now, do you remember me saying that that God's nature is to, in honor, give preference to the other, right? You remember that? That Jesus puts the Father first, the Father puts Jesus first, they both put the Holy Ghost. It's the nature of God to always put the other first, right? That was Adam's very nature before the fall. Now, Jesus is the door, but what I've discovered is that we don't go through it unless we willfully pray into all that was lost. I had that encounter in the 90s, and ever since then, I've been willfully praying into, I want that back, and I want that back, and I want that back, and I want that back. And I want revelation, because we do not have a full revelation of all that was lost. Therefore, we don't have a full revelation of all that was purchased back for us. And even if we get a revelation, we need the revelation of how to walk in it, right? And so there's what God showed me is that Adam, and Jesus was what? The last Adam, wasn't he? Perfect in every way, right? The one, the only, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody like him in all the earth. Never made a mistake in all his life. Well, he thought only of what was in it for his Father. And I saw something in my flesh, which was that as a believer, I would think of what's in it for me and then go, oh, wait, I'm supposed to, right? It wasn't the first thought. It was the second thought, right? And when I was younger, I noticed what God was pointing out to me is, for example, if somebody invited me to some function, our mind will immediately think, well, what's in it for me? Will I like it? Is it fun? Do I have time? Is it fit my schedule? It's all about me. But the way that God thinks is, what's in it for him? Is there someone there that I'm supposed to help? Is this a God thing? And that is to become our first nature, isn't it? And so, but that takes a little transformation, doesn't it? To love someone more than ourselves. Have you ever met anybody besides Jesus that loved you more than themselves? It does happen, but it's very rare. My husband loved me more than himself. I have honestly never known, except maybe one or two people, that were so blessed that had somebody that loved them more than life, more than death, more than. But we made a deal before we got married, and that is that Jesus is absolutely first. Amen. Said, I will not marry you unless that's the deal. Because I knew he loved me. He loved me, and it was a God thing. How he was crazy how much that man loved me. Nobody loves any. I've never seen love like that. And I said, but Jesus has to be first. I cannot be first to you, and you cannot be first to me. Because that's the only way this is going to work. He said, you're right, we'll do it. We'll do that. And he did, and he loved me he was an old man. He was a great deal older than me. He was like marrying Abraham, actually. No, it was. But it was a great privilege. Think of it. And he figured out that I love fresh squeezed orange juice. I just do. I love fresh squeezed. Regular, you know, orange juice out of the thing, it's okay. Fresh squeezed orange juice. What could be better? Well, so Edgar drives an hour to a restaurant supply house, and he buys one of those things. They're hard to use. They're, you know. And every day for almost 20 years, every day, he would get up. He didn't have to get up. He was a minister. I was working full-time, so I had to get up and out of there. And every day when I would get up and go into the washroom, here would be this glass on the counter of fresh squeezed orange juice. He wouldn't even do it the night before. He would get up and do that just because he loved me. Isn't that something? Edgar showed me the love of God. I didn't even know how to be married. He had to teach me how to be married. He had to teach me what it was to love somebody. We wouldn't really argue, because if we differed, it was like weird at first. I didn't understand it. He literally couldn't remember if we had any difference. It'd be like it never even happened. And I'd be like, I'm a resolver, so I like to fix things. I don't care what happened yesterday, but what do we do so it doesn't happen again? Editor's like, I don't want to talk about it. It never happened. I think it didn't. Wait, did I dream that? He had to teach me how to be married. He had to teach me how to love. He loved people. I feel like God wants to impart this. You know, we have not valued love highly enough. I have not valued love highly enough. And Edgar taught me that. I didn't really get it. No, I value God's love for me. I'm in love with him. He's in love with me. That's great. People, I didn't have it. But I learned something by watching Edgar. When he would win a soul, it was like picking fruit off a tree. Everywhere we went, he'd just win souls like nothing. I was like, you're kind of annoying. Because I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't even, you know, I would try and I just didn't have that, you know, amazing gifting. But the truth is, I really wanted to know. So I went to the Lord and said, hey, how does he do that? I mean, and everybody, well, he has a gift. Well, that's great. But how does that, you know me, I want to know how does it work? That's how I think. So the Lord is so good to me. I said, could you explain to me how that works? Now, most of the time when Edgar's winning a soul, I'm standing beside Edgar. And I'm seeing people. I've seen atheists. I've seen agnostics. I've seen people that hate God break down and cry and get saved. Every time. He'd get their hold of their hand. He wouldn't let go. And he'd just talk to them. And I'd watch as they transformed from being arrogant, angry, resisting, to saying, I want what you have. And I saw it again and again and again. So when I asked God, how is he doing that? How? God's so good, the next time he arranged that I would be standing by the person. And this is what I saw. I saw that for that moment in time, the love of God was pouring through his eyes. He was looking at them with the eyes of the Father, loving them. Not human love, it's a different thing. He wasn't winning their soul because we're supposed to do that. He wasn't winning a soul because it's our Christian obligation. With everything in him, he loved them. And he didn't want them to go to hell. He didn't want them to live without God. He wanted them to know his Savior. And I never saw one person that could reject it. Ever. But it gets better. I started to notice that there seemed to be a tie between the compassion of God and the healing power of God. And I saw lots of people who were hot shots that wanted to be used in healing, but didn't have compassion. And again, I'm not talking about human compassion. I think we all have a measure of human compassion where we care. You know, when someone's hurting, we care. But this is something more. This is a flow from heaven. And I feel like I have permission from the Lord that he's going to release something like this. And we need this. I need this. We need this. So again, I'm asking God questions because I see that when there's about to be a creative miracle. Now, just let me tell you, some of you knew Edgar, and you knew his history, and some of you don't. Edgar operated in creative miracles a lot. He had, just as a one example, in Bakersfield, California, a lady came up for prayer, and she was wearing black glasses, and she had a white cane. And she said to her daughter, "Where is he?" And the daughter said, "Mom, you're standing right in front of him." He was standing on the steps to the platform. He was like one step up. And the lady threw off her glasses and she threw her cane because she knew she was going to be healed. Edgar looked at her and there was no eyeballs and no eyelids. He was looking into empty sockets. And the Lord said to him, "Place your thumbs in those sockets." And he said his stomach went, it was gross. But he said suddenly his hands jumped and his thumbs were in those sockets, and he felt something go like this. And he jerked his hands away and watched God grow eyeballs. And he said he saw the white, then he saw the iris and the pupil. He saw eyelids, he saw eyelashes. And she began to say, "I see you, and I see you, and I see you, and I see you." And for Edgar, that was pretty normal. And when I first met him and I heard him telling these stories, I thought, is he just like, you know, I mean, really? I mean, I believed in miracles, but his stories were pretty out there. And one day, we were starting to hang around together, and we went to a service in La Salle, Peru, Illinois. And a man, he said, "Now, I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care if I'm preaching, teaching, telling a story. I don't care what I'm doing. If you feel the heat in your body, come forward. You're being healed." And that's how he talked, but he had a big, booming voice. And he always, when he was in the Holy Ghost, he always pointed his big, old, meaty hand. He'd point. And if he pointed, I'm telling you, you knew the Holy Ghost was about to do something. So he'd say, "I don't care what's going on. If you feel heat in your body, you're being healed. Get up here." Well, up comes this guy, and he's got a four-footed cane. Okay, and I'm just giving you some background. And he would place the cane and move his foot and drag his leg. And he had a special shoe that was about 2-3 inches, you know, one of those ones that's built up. Place the cane, take a step, and drag his leg. Comes up to Edgar, and Edgar takes the cane and says, "You don't need this anymore." And I'm sitting in the back going, "Oh, okay. We're doing this." So that's just to give you some background about what I'm talking about. Well, over the years, I began to see that whenever the healing power was about to be, you know, creative miracles were about to be released, the compassion of God would move in the room. And I just didn't have the connection. I said, "God, is there a connection between the compassion of God and the miracles and healing power?" Well, you know, when you ask God an honest question from an honest heart, he will find a way to show you. And I'm watching God TV, and they're doing this revival, and this other minister's on there, and he's got amazing miracles, and he's preaching. And he stops, and he says, "The compassion of the Lord is here to heal." I said, "Thank you. I got it." The compassion of the Lord would come upon him, and that meant it was time to heal. The compassion of the Lord, it's not the same as human compassion. But I believe that it is what flows through Jesus Christ. I believe it's what, remember when he would grieve, remember the widow, she'd lost her only son. And he grieved over that because he knew that was her only food. You know, in those days, older women who were widowed and childless, they couldn't exactly just go out and get a job. They were stuck. You know, and if the town wasn't merciful, they were stuck bad. And he had compassion on her. And his compassion, he raised the dead. And so what God, I believe, is saying is that part of what happened in the fall, which is part of what Jesus has redeemed for us, is that if we ask him, he will let the heart of the Father flow through us. He will give us a compassion for the lost, the dying, the hurting, the broken, the messy, the messed up, the creepy, the jerky, the mean, the ugly. Amen. And we need that, don't we? Yes. I need that. Yes. And I feel like I said all that to say this. I believe God is actually releasing that today. Amen. He said to us about today, he said, heaven is open. Remember? And he said, everything Jesus died for you to have is available. It's already been purchased. And because you're born again, you have access to it freely. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. But we can, you know, we've said, well, I can believe to receive this, but not that. I can believe that I can receive my salvation, but oh, maybe not my healing. Same Bible, same Jesus, same blood, same Isaiah 53. It behooves us to study Isaiah 53. Because he didn't just die for our sins. He died for every single human need that could ever exist to provide freely a solution. It's free. And what he's doing in this room is raising up people that will say, I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that. And what I saw, if you have faith to receive, I saw like a, I almost want to say a landslide, except that it was a very thick liquid. But it has to do with the compassion of God. And if you want the compassion of God, we're just going to ask him that we receive. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, give me the compassion of God for every human, for my family, for my spouse, for every person, the pretty and the ugly, the saved and the unsaved, the nice and the not as nice. Give me the true compassion flow of God and allow me to pour it out on people. In Jesus' name. God, we've prayed, most of the people in this room have probably prayed at one time or other or many times to be more like Jesus. You know, God hears those prayers and he never forgets them. There's some prayers. He remembers every prayer. He does. But there's some prayers that I think heaven pauses for a moment. Listen to that. And when we say something like, I want to be changed. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like you, Jesus. And that means I have to change, doesn't it? A long time ago, I used to say it this way. An old Volkswagen saw an airplane and said, I want to fly like that. What do I have to do? Well, you have to change. Well, can't I just stick some wings on? No, you have to change everything. What do you have to change? Everything. We ask the Lord to change us, and then when he confronts us with change, we say, I'm good. Good the way I am. I don't need to change. La, 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 la. He'll send people to you to gently say, you know, maybe you might want to consider, la, 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 la. But really, we, in your heart, in your born-again spirit, whether you know it or not, whether you're in tune with it or not, deep down, you want to be just like him. Some of you know it and some of you don't, but deep down, you want, with all your heart, to manifest Jesus, to be like him, to love like him, and even to die for others like him. Because you know why? You're made in his image. Yeah. We've become a bit disconnected from the reality of who we are on the inside. You were made in the very image of God. God, through Jesus Christ, has reopened Eden to us. He's reopened the Holy of Holies. And in a lot of ways, they're very, very similar, and we could even say the same thing. The primary thing for me is that there is almost, we could say, face-to-face encounter, daily lifestyle with him two-way. Don't be impressed when someone, you know, can prophesy long prophecies. They've just been hanging out with him. It's there for you. It's not unique to one person. Anybody who will learn the place of the king. When Edgar wanted to come back, he wanted to come and marry me. He wanted to, you know, and I was like, nope, 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 absolutely not. And he wanted to come to Illinois, and he was in California. He was staying with his son. And he called me and I said, do not come to Illinois. I said, I'm doing 30 days with Jesus. Just don't. Well, you don't tell Edgar anything. You know. Mary knew him. That was a hallelujah. I got it. Well, anyway, I was doing this thing with Jesus. I did have to go to work, but at night I wouldn't do anything with anybody. 30 days alone with Jesus. So I'd come home from work and just hang out with Jesus all night long. Just hang out with Jesus. And at one point, now this is strange, but I'm just going to tell you, the things of the Spirit are strange. I was going into the bridal chamber. I was actually walking in the door, and I hear Edgar yell, "Holly!" Now, he's in California. The man is in California. What happened in California is he was staying at his son's house on one of these little futon things in the spare room, and he came up out of a sleep and yelled, "Holly!" And his son came running and said, "What?" He said, "I just saw Holly disappear." God had already united us in the Spirit. We didn't, I didn't know. He knew. Edgar knew. I didn't know. I was going into the bridal chamber, and the next night Edgar calls me, and I said, I thought, something doesn't sound right. His voice sounds different. I said, "Where are you?" He said, "Albuquerque." I said, "Edgar Bailey, you cannot come here." "I'm coming." I said, "Where are you going to stay?" "In the car." I don't know why I'm telling you all this, except to say God is doing something very bridal chambery with us. And some people don't exactly know how to be a bride. Some people don't know how to fall in love. Some people don't know how to allow someone in. Some people have lived so much in their head all their life, and we're not condemning you. But this isn't a head thing, this is a heart thing. When you fall in love with someone, all you care about is them. The Song of Solomon seems strange to us because it's pretty mushy. And it's a little embarrassing when they read it in public, actually. And kind of funny, your nose is like the Tower of Damascus. Well, thanks so much for that. Hallelujah. Really, really, my beloved, was that? I was wondering about that scripture. But the Song of Solomon, it's a love story. And what I would love for each one of you is that when you leave, that you would make a way to have some time with him. That's not just alone time, not just, I love study time, that's awesome. We have some real amazing word students in here, and that's awesome. But God's pulling in our heartstrings right now. Because we can study and study and study and learn and learn and learn, but it's almost like it comes to life when we're in him in the Spirit. The scriptures come alive to me, not when I'm reading them, but when I'm with him. I'll read the scriptures and say, amen, I kind of, get it, and it's good. My mind is such that I remember them. But I don't really have revelation until I go lay on the floor. I lay on the floor in his presence. And I just hang out with him. He'll say, "Hey, remember when I said this and that and this and that?" Scriptures from all over the Bible, he'll pull them from everywhere. And then he'll show me what that means, and I'll be like, "Oh, I never saw that." And you know why? Because I was reading with my head, right, through my natural eye, but I wasn't at the time. Now, some people can do it. My gifting is a little different. For me, I can read it. I can even retain it. But for me to really get revelation of it, I need to be with him. To me, he is the Spirit of revelation. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit, he wants to open things to us that we have never understood. He wants to show us the kingdom in ways that we have not understood. He wants to show us every single thing about the blood. What was purchased for you. We're so happy. We love what he's done with us, and this is awesome. But this is just a beginning for people in here. If you want, he will live with you. In the way that he lived with Adam, walked with him and talked with him, hung out together. What would it be like if you could be in your kitchen and Jesus comes in and says, hey, what you doing? What you making? Got some tea? Sits down at your counter. Do you know that the Lord is fun? Do you know that he has a sense of humor? He's a blast. I remember when I was young and in love. Now I'm old and in love, you know. Hallelujah. And I was saying, you know, I just can't wait. We're going to go on picnics and we're going to go fishing and we're going to stick our feet in the water and we're going to run through the meadow and we're just going to have a blast and we would just hang out together. And I said, I'm just being silly, right? I said, I know, motocross. We'll do motocross. I'm driving. I turn the corner and I get behind a car with a bumper sticker that says, God rides a Harley. I'm not kidding, that happened. God is funny. He invented, a friend of mine, when she got her, when she got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, she thought God was a grump. And when she got filled with the Holy Ghost, she said she laughed for like 10 hours. And he said, you think I don't have a sense of humor? I invented the duck-billed platypus, and he showed her a picture of it. And she just roared with laughter. God is actually not religious. So God is releasing some things even as we speak. But mainly what I see him releasing is that this is not a mountaintop experience that we are going to leave behind. This is something that is going in your car with you, into your house with you, and you don't have to tell everybody. Your people at home, they may not understand. They'll hear and go, that's nice, dear. You know, because they didn't get to breathe that air, okay? And that's okay. Don't feel bad about that. Sometimes when I have an encounter with God, I don't tell anybody about it for a long time. You know, because I know they weren't there. You know, you had to be there, right? Some heavenly encounters, you had to be there. You know, I can tell you about it, but you'll just go, oh, that's nice, dear, that's nice, you know. I'm just telling you. But something has happened on the inside, and it's a God thing. You know, God ordained these meetings. We didn't ordain them. We're not that smart. And when I was praying about today, and to be honest, I felt completely inadequate because I knew that whatever he was going to do was way beyond me. I knew it before the meeting. And I got up early, and I wanted to come to the dream thing, but I knew I got to hang out with God because I don't have it. You know, I'm not ready, and I felt like I know he's going to do something that's way bigger than me. And God did show us some stuff, which turned out to be, you know, pretty amazing. But he said, you don't understand. He said, I've known for months what I'm going to do today. I already got it figured out. I already have it. I already know all the people I'm going to set free. I'm going to deliver. I'm going to heal. I saw someone laying on the floor and stuff draining into the floor out of them. Just, it's easy for God. He said, Holly, you don't have to pray it in. It is in. I've already done this thing. You know, before things happen here, they happen there. I said, before things happen here, they happen there. Amen. And sometimes when we pray, we're not making it happen. We're releasing it. We're releasing what God has already desired and even ordained. We're releasing it from heaven into earth by our speech. Tongues was given because we're clueless sometimes about what to say. But as we pray in tongues, he gives us what to say. Many times when I'm in tongues, when I'm praying in tongues, and I don't know exactly what to pray for as we ought, right? The Holy Spirit will give me one sentence, and I'll say it, and it'll happen immediately, right? In fact, I could pretty much say everything that we do in the Spirit, we learned in prayer, in 30 years of praying, 35 years of praying, 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 praying. Because the more you pray in the Spirit, the more you hang out with him in the Spirit, the more sensitive you become to what is he doing now? What is he doing now? What is he doing now? Oh, he's doing that over there. Oh, I'm supposed to say this. Oh, I'm supposed to move my hand. You see? So it's really a prayer meeting gone to town. God wants millions of experts in the Spirit. Not know-it-alls, but people who have gained mastery at operating in the realm of God. When I was young, I had a good friend, and he was in Aikido, which is a you know, a martial art, it's probably the nicer one. Still pretty tough. And those guys would practice over and over and over until they became automatic response. You know, till it was automated. Can I suggest to you that if you hang out with God and hang out with God and build a relationship in the bridal chamber or in Him or in your prayer chair, in the Spirit, at first you'll be halting and you might make a few mistakes and you might say, I'm not sure if that was Him. That's okay. That's part of growing. But as you continue to do it, you're going to grow more and more sensitive. You'll get to a place where you can hear a pin drop in heaven. Okay? You wake up out of sleep and you go, wait, what was that? What? What do you want me to do? What do you need? I need you to go out in the living room. I need you to proclaim some things. Okay. You'll be standing by somebody and just go, oh, they're having heart palpitations. And you just, you know, just, and you're not the healer. Jesus is the healer, but you just begin to flow in Him. I shared this with a brother, but I feel like the Lord wants me to share it with everybody. Oh, I need somebody big, somebody tall. Who's big and tall? Need somebody big and tall. Yeah. Oh, you're big and tall. Come on. In fact, it was you I was sharing this with. Okay, he's going to pretend to be God. Now, I'm going to have, let's see, how should I do this? You're going to face them, and you're going to go like this, like you're the Father. One of the first visions I ever saw, you just stay right there. Yep. Okay, you're pretending to be God. I saw a vision of a man worshiping the Father. Now, this is God is teaching me. He teaches me through pictures. The man is like this. As I watched, as he worshipped, he turned around and he began to minister out from God. Okay? But then what I saw is he stepped back into God. And I saw, now we can't really do this, but they began to move as one. I could still see the man in God. I could see the man's arm in God's arm, and their arm moved together. And they were operating as one. Thank you. It is a picture. It is God was saying, this is what I desire for you to do. Not just me, but all of us. And what some people do is they'll go so far and they'll think, oh, that's not really for me. That's just for special called people. No, it's for every person. Everybody is called to relationship. And I like when people believe me. I don't like when people say, well, I just don't know if I could do that. You know, somebody told me I had a special relationship with God. Well, only because I worked at it, right? Only because I was hungry and I loved Him enough. So God is asking us to develop a relationship where we just move with Him, where He goes. And I'll tell you something, I'm saying this for somebody. One of the greatest things and one of the hardest things to learn about being prophetic is when to shut up. When to not say one word, when to hold your peace, and when to have a word and hold it for 2 days, 3 days, 6 months, and then say, oh, today I'm supposed to release it. And this is for children. This is for the children of God. Just seeing if there's anything more. I feel like what he's saying is, this afternoon we saw the heavenlies, we saw heaven opened. And some of you are still in process, some of you are still on the operating table, some of you are still, you're in process of healing, some of you were healed, some of you were healed and delivered and don't even know it yet. But this is what I see. I see people getting in their car or on the plane and going home, and deep down there's a little inner decision, I am not going to be the same. And I'm not doing Christianity the way I was doing it before. Amen. I'm going to hang out with my Father. I'm going to get to know Jesus. And I'm going to be a bride. I'm going to be a person in love. And I'm going to let Him teach me. I wish for you that you develop a two-way relationship where you can come to Him with every honest question of your heart. I ask the dumbest questions you have ever heard. You know why? Because I come as a child. Because if I come as a child, He always hears me. If I don't get it, I say, you know, I know you've told me this like 20 different ways, but I still need help understanding this. Can you tell me again? You know, He never gets mad. He's never impatient. He loves when we come with our questions. The Holy Spirit is our mentor. But if we aren't showing up for class, we can't learn. You have a mentor that knows everything about everything. He knows how to create an eyeball. He knows how to create an optic nerve. He knows how to create atoms and molecules. He knows what those wormhole things are in space. If he wants more stars, he can just... And he has chosen to be your mentor personally, your personal mentor. And he's available 24 hours a day. He waits for you to get up in the morning. Isn't that amazing? I was weeping one time and talking to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is my best friend, I'll be very honest. He's my very best friend. He's my closest friend. I love him. I love him. I revere him, and I treasure him. You could take a lot away from me, and I wouldn't care, but don't you even. I love that Holy Ghost. I love him. And I was weeping one day because I had some friends, and they were in a really bad situation. And I knew the answer from the Holy Spirit. I knew what would help them, but they didn't want my opinion. And sometimes God will tell you, don't even offer it. They're not open. So I'm weeping, and I said, oh, Lord, they're making it so hard, and they're struggling, and they're in pain. And I have the answer, and I felt like this. I felt like they were in the house, and there was a screen door, and I was knocking, saying, let me help you. And they didn't want my opinion. And I said, Holy Spirit, I wish I could help them. And this is what he said to me. He said, that's exactly what my people do to me. He said, I have all the answers. I could help you with your pain, your emotional pain, your history, your stuff, why things happened. It is not wrong to say, would you help me understand why did that happen? It's not, you know, when we ask it in an attitude, that's wrong. But if we honestly want to know, he'll help, he'll teach you. Why did that person pass away? Why did that person get healed and that one did not? Those are good questions. Holy Spirit, he will spend time with you. He'll teach you exactly. He'll give you the wisdom of the universe. He said it's yours. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. You know what he's saying? I'm standing right here. I'm standing here, you know, at your screen door. But he will never force the door open and come in. He'll wait. You know what God does? He'll wait till you've struggled. Some people have to struggle 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 years because they're hard-headed. And they think they know. And when they finally fail terribly enough, then they say, oh, God, what do I do? Well, I'm so glad you're ready to hear. But you know what I found out? You don't have to wait even 5 minutes. If you even smell a trial coming, second one, not minute one, second number one, you just stop and say, Holy Ghost, what are you trying to show me? Is there something I need to adapt? Is there an attitude I need to correct? Is there some truth that I need that I don't have? Don't ever think you know all truth. We don't know squat diddly do compared to him. We don't. And some of us need that revelation. He loves to mentor. God will give you the secrets of the universe. I'm telling you, God will give you wisdom so far beyond your years. My old pastor used to say, he'd say, if wise people are coming to you for help, then you're wise. And until they're coming to you for help, you're not wise. Because when you start hanging out with the wise one, the one and only, and you continue to express your hunger and you keep asking questions, what did he say? Ask and keep on asking. Right? Knock and keep on knocking. Why? Because he has all of it. He's offered all of it, and it's free to everybody. But only a few will take the trouble. Right? Only a few will say, well, I'll take that. I'll come after that. What's a little bit of work? That's okay. There are some things that you want to say, I don't care if it takes me the whole of my life. I'm going to learn that. I don't care if it takes me the rest of my life. I'm going to become more like you. I don't care if it takes me the whole of my life. I want to understand this or walk in that. You get what you press in for. I said you get what you press in for. Don't think God's just going to saunter past your door because you're so nice. you know, gee, you're just so great. I'm just going to pour this one on you. No, a lot of times there are special giftings and callings, but a lot of times, it's because a person who really maybe didn't have as much of a calling, they just wouldn't quit. I think I might be an example of somebody who's not called, not chosen, not appointed, and not anointed, but just wouldn't go away. I just wouldn't go away. Because God says, you know, I want to do this thing. Edgar had a special calling. I told you about him. He obviously had a special calling. Very, very special and unique. Yay. But what I want to say to you is this. We can all find God. He wants to be found by us. He said, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he's going home with you. And this is the beginning of a new relationship. And how this relationship is going to work is you keep asking him your questions. Come as a small child, a little two-year-old. How does this work? I don't get it. Well, I get that, but I don't get this. What do you mean by that? We have to come like little kids. Don't be a hot shot with God. He'll open the heavens to you, I'm telling you. It's all yours. Okay, hallelujah. Let's, what do we have left? Praise the Lord. We have a testimony, John. Come on up, hallelujah. John Mayer. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you want me to bring it back to you, John, or you want to come up?
Who's being healed? Hallelujah.
Yes,
he's truly being healed. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, I'd just like to share a little bit about partnership. I've known these two for at least 17 years. I've been coming to off and on to these kinds of things, and there's nowhere else that you're going to get this kind of stuff. There is nowhere in your little church down the road where you're going to hear these kinds of things. And so you're the hungry ones. You're seeing testimony after testimony what God is bringing to the table for us all. And if you want to take your next step, partner with these guys. Become a partner with these guys. You can do it tonight. You can do it before you leave. Become a partner, because when you become a partner, they're going to pray into your life. They're going to be there at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're going to sit there and they're going to pray the darkness away that you can't necessarily yet. But if one thing I've noticed over the years with this ministry, it's evolving and it's changing. What I heard 15 or so years ago, you know, I always was wondering, okay, great, but how do I get it? How do I get this stuff? You got this stuff. That's wonderful, but how do I get it? And now they are releasing that. They are giving you hands-on way to practically get this for yourself. And all you got to do is listen to them. What Jim said, I think, in the first year I was here, this is the third year, and praise God that they prayed me in to be able to come tonight, because I didn't know whether I was going to come to the last week or so, and I didn't know if I could handle the trip, the journey with my hip the way it is, and God wanted me here, so I'm here, you know, and there, you know, I don't know, I think one of the gals told you what my dream was. I wasn't here for that. I was fishing with Jim and the boys, but one of the things that I got in the morning, because I don't hardly ever remember my dreams. So I remember my dream yesterday, and I remembered my dream today. And they were amazing dreams. And one of the things that he gave me was a little sign in my room said, climb every mountain. Now, that's not an accident for me, because I'm all about climbing the mountains out here. And I asked the Holy Spirit, will I be able to climb after this hip replacement? And he said, yes. And I have to say, when he tells you something, that means yes. And so today, Last year, Kat, y'all know who she is? Okay, well, anyway, if you come to another one or two of these, pretty soon we're all going to be friends. I want to tell you that. That's a wonderful thing. But Kat was out there in a beautiful time of the evening. It was kind of sunset, and she was waving this ribbon, this huge ribbon, and dancing to the Lord outside of that window there. And I was just going, that's beautiful, man. That is so beautiful. And lately, we've been waving flags. You know, it's a season to wave flags, and it's great. And even I started waving a flag, and I never thought I'd ever be one of those. I never thought I'd ever be one of those that would speak in tongues or any of that stuff. But here I am, you know, here I am. God's taken me on this journey. And I want to say something that Jim said. I think it was the first year, Jim, at the end of it all. He said, Lori and Holly are like an ice boat. I want to share this because the metaphor stuck with me. They are paving the way. They're cutting the way that none of us have ever been before. And we get the benefits because of all that time that they've spent in their prayer closet for decades. We get the benefit to get there faster. They want that for us. And recently I heard one of Holly's visions, and one of Holly's visions was, I would like millions to get what we've got. That's been a shift. And I think God has taken her up on that because the way that these girls are preaching is so user-friendly, you're going to get it. You're going to get it, man. So I'm saying, if you want to team up with somebody, you want to team up with a ministry that's powerful, and I think we need to do this. We need to be good stewards of where our money goes. And I didn't really realize that for a while, but I realized that when we got out of a dying ministry that we were in 15 years trying to make the thing go, and we finally got out of it, I started sending my tithe that I was sending to that church, because that was my main church. I started sending it here and to the other church that we go to that's alive and vibrant. And over this past year or year and a half, we have had no financial problems at all. And I don't know if you guys know Gary Cassie, but he teaches on financial stuff. And he said to do some crazy things, and I heard Holly and Edgar would do the same thing. If they had a debt, they'd put their hands on the checkbook, and they'd specifically pray over that debt until it went away. And you know, things seem ridiculous in the spiritual, to the worldly people, that seems ridiculous. Try it. It works. We are not hurting at all. And what you want to do as a good steward with your money, you want to sow into fertile ground. You saw what these testimonies tonight. This has only been a couple days under this ministry. These people's lives are being transformed. Actual miracles are taking place. You want to sow and be a good steward into something? Partner with them. Partner with them, and they'll download every month, something that they prayed about specifically for you. Okay? So, and I want to thank you, Kat, because I was dancing tonight without my crutches, by the way. So, you know, she remembered me, and I remembered her. We were talking the other night, and she brought it up. Hey, you know, this is what I do, you know. She wanted to know what happened to me, and when I shared it with her, she said, well, I could do this. Why don't you just lean up against the window here, and I'll put my hands up. All of a sudden, I started feeling something a little bit relaxed in my back and so forth. But she made it a point to spend an hour and a half with me there because she knew that she sensed that I needed that kind of time, I suppose. But she says, you'll even see things over the next 7 days that are going to happen. And all of you in here are going to get something. God's released all this stuff. We just got to receive it. You know, you're all going to get something. And who knows how it's going to manifest itself, but be ready for it because it's coming your way. Amen. You're all going to get it. So thank you. Bless you guys.
Thank you. Amen.
He is righteous and true. Yeah. Tell him what you really think. Tell him what you really think about him. Some of y'all just need to hug him. You need to hold him. You need to touch his face. Kiss his feet. Some of you need to kiss his beautiful hand. Some of you haven't told him. It's been too long since you told him how much you love him. It's his air you're breathing. Yeshua. 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 You know, we just want to stay in him. We had kind of a thought that we were going to do teams. I'm not sure. But I see, before we do, or if we do, I see him releasing something into the belly. And so I want to obey him. Because we don't want to send you off without the ability to continue in. And the Lord showed me this morning that there's people that got to see more of him today, or this weekend, than they've maybe seen or understood before. There's some people that are kind of new to Jesus. And they got to see something and they said, I want that. But I saw this morning, I saw that there's some people that feel like they don't feel like they could ever find their way, or they don't know how. And what I see him putting in you is the ability to find him in the secret place. He doesn't want you to feel, I don't care if you're the least. He doesn't care if you're the least. He doesn't care if you just walked in and you never met him before. Doesn't matter. I saw a picture this morning of someone's eyes, and they were like, I wish I could have that. I wish I could do that. And they didn't think they could, but none of us can. It's all grace. Grace is his ability. We don't have any ability to do anything right. Nothing. Not even relationship. Everything that is accomplished that's true. Everything that is accomplished that is of him is done by his power alone. No one has any ability in the earth. If you think you do, you don't know enough yet. It's his grace poured out on us. And when we run a little low in the gas tank, we say, Lord, would you pour your grace out of me? I need to worship. I need to get in the secret place. I need to pray, but I just don't have it today. Lord, pour your grace upon me. And here it comes again, a wave of his ability. It's all his ability, all of it. If you learn how to walk in that grace, you will never lack. You will never be without ability. It doesn't matter what the day brings. It doesn't matter. Lord, give me your grace. Give me your ability. I don't have it, but you do. And his grace comes every time. I have never in the whole of my life seen him say no to someone that truly says, would you give me your ability to do this? I can't do it. It's when we try to do it that we fail. Because we don't have the ability. But he does. And he's in us. And he likes doing it. It makes him happy. And so I saw him putting something, and I felt like I needed to release this publicly, because there's a few people that have to leave early. And I don't want them to go home without this. I saw him putting in every single person in here that wants it. There's one or two that are going to try to refuse it, but you'd be wise not to. Really. You'd be wise to take this. I feel like I saw him release something, and I saw it go into the belly of anybody that will receive it. And it's the ability to find your way into the secret place, into his arms, into relationship. Relationship with him, it's not like anything on earth unless you've either been a part of a marriage that's truly loving, or you've seen a marriage where they're truly in love. But if you can imagine two people that are so smitten with each other, they're not aware of anybody else. They're just looking in each other's eyes. Andrew and Holly, when they first got married, it was like, good heavens, do I need to leave the room here? and because Andrew loves her so much, and his eyes just pour love for her.
And she's so beautiful. And it was like, this is just such a picture of the church. But more than that, it's a picture of you and Jesus. Whether you're male or female is not the issue here. In the Spirit, we are His. And He loves us with that kind of love. And His favorite thing, I mean, it's great to serve Him in all the other ways. But the crux of the matter, the center of the matter, is at the end of the day, being in His arms. I got to see Him do wonderful things this weekend. It made me so happy to hear people and their testimonies and hear what God is doing, wonderful things in lives. It made me so, so happy. We long for that and we want that. But this morning in worship, I said, you know what? That's awesome and I'm so thankful, but you have to be first. I mean, you and me and you. I can live without the other stuff, but I cannot live without you. And where I want to be is in your arms. That's where I want to be. And I love if you're doing the other stuff. I love that. I'm thankful, deeply thankful, because I know it was all you. You know, we know a brother. He works in great miracles. I mean, really great miracles. And after a really great miracle, he'll always look at the person and he'll say, who did it? And he'll make them say, Jesus did it. He will not take the credit for it because he knows it wasn't him. But he wants them to know it wasn't him. Who did it? Jesus did it. So right now, by the power of the Spirit, I impart and release. He is doing it, not me. He is releasing His power into you. Doesn't matter if you feel it or not. If you would like this, just say, I receive the grace to walk in Him, to walk with Him, to come into the most holy place. And worship heart to heart, to be held in His arms, to receive His love, in Jesus' name. And if you have that, you really don't need anything else. Okay.